Perfect.
Well, as you can hear, the cuteness continues in the intro. As my daughter Lucy said in the beginning there, I am TJ Deitch. This is the Pop Pop and Napcast. Right off the bat, I want to say I hope all the dads out there had good Father's Days on Sunday. Em's parents were visiting this weekend. They came in on Friday and then spent the weekend through till Sunday when they took off. We don't usually go out on Sunday itself because, for one thing, they like to head out early, and for another, it's just usually is jam-packed on actual Father's Day. So instead, we went to a recently discovered and, I believe, fairly new barbecue place in our area called Handsome Devil, and it's actually in the ice rink in, I think it's New Windsor. It's over by Stewart Airport if you're kind of in this area. I highly recommend checking it out. For one thing, it's not usually that crowded, but on the other hand, the food has been awesome every single time we've gone. So we had some beers and we got together there and had some good barbecue. I actually had a dish that's called the Hot Mess, which has their barbecue brisket on the bottom. And then in the middle is macaroni and cheese. And then on top of that is pulled pork. So, like, how can you go wrong? And then Sunday morning when we got up, Em actually let me sleep in, which is no small feat these days with these two tiny children running around and being very baby-ish in Jack's case. So I got to sleep until like 8:30, I think, which is definitely longer than I've been able to in a while because Lucy's been getting up really early lately. And then they got me cards, which are really nice. And my Father's Day gifts were a waterproof Bluetooth speaker that can connect to my phone or my computer. The waterproof thing is actually just kind of an added bonus. When I cook, we've got a galley kitchen, and I have my computer on a stool next to the sink, and then across from that is where I do all my work. And sometimes if I'm doing a bunch of stuff, I can't hear the podcast I listen to very well. So I wanted to get one with like a suction cup or just a small one I could put somewhere, and I've already charged it up and tested it out. It works really well, and I am hoping, I used it in the shower even that morning. I haven't used it to cook because I haven't cooked since then, but I'm hoping to get that going. And then the other thing I got was the Back to the Future Blu-ray box set. Those are just movies that I love. I mean, when I think of movies that I loved as a kid that were like on TV a lot and just kind of like worked their way into my brain, it's the Star Wars movies, it's the Indiana Jones movies, and it's the Back to the Future movies. They are, you know, oh, and Goonies, that's another one. Those were just really special movies to me. I would kind of come in at various points, watch them. And for some of these movies, I haven't even watched the whole thing from beginning to end. I actually watched Goonies a couple weeks ago when M took Lucy somewhere to an appointment or music class or something, and I was like completely blown away by the beginning. I always forget that there's this whole beginning part where they're like going through town and you kind of get introduced to everybody that way. In my mind, it always just began right at Mikey's house, and that was it. So that was kind of interesting. Anyway, I love those movies and I can't wait to watch them, and I think they're pretty good ones to show Lucy. I mean, I watched them as a kid, so if she starts having any desire to watch anything that I like, I think that's a pretty good place to start. Plus, I mean, hoverboards and Blu-rays got to be awesome, right? I hope so. And then on Sunday, the rest of the day, Em's parents did come over and they brought breakfast, some bagels and coffee, which was fantastic. And then they took Lucy over to the playground and ran her around for a little bit. And they took off around like 11:30, I think. And a couple hours after that, we went over to our friend Seenrod's house to celebrate Father's Day over there. They have a nice pool. You know, it was nice because it was a hot day, so it was nice to be in the pool. But it was also just nice to kind of see everybody. It's been a while, and this was actually Jack's first outing. He got vaccines, as I mentioned in last week's episode. So we're feeling like he's a little bit ready to be out. We're not going to take them to like the grocery store or places where there's a ton of people in a small area, but we are starting to take him out to smaller groups. You know, we trust our friends to let us know if they're feeling sick or anything because the germs can be really bad for him. But he did well there. And then actually, I didn't mention, but on Saturday, we went to the big flea market in Stormville. Technically, it's the big yard sale. They have several flea markets throughout the summer, and then they do two yard sales, I believe. And I don't know, like, what the difference is technically, but there's fewer people selling, like, weird dollar store stuff. Like, you see at a lot of flea markets. and so this was all just, like, people buying space and then putting their things out. I didn't get anything, which is pretty unusual. Usually I'll walk away with, like, a book or a toy or something. I did see what looked like either close to or an entire set of the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure action figures, which I didn't even really know about as a kid. This isn't like a nostalgia thing, but they all like mimic playing guitar, which I think is really cool. And there's a two-pack you can get that is supposed to react when you play music, like those flower things that they used to do, where you'd play music and it would kind of dance around and add sunglasses on. I didn't even ask how much it was, which I regret because they were pretty cool. And I did look them up on eBay when I got home, and they go for pretty good money. I don't know how up on the prices these guys were, though they were selling a ton of toy stuff, so probably weren't too far off. But they were just on a blanket on the ground, and I was like, oh, I want to check those out, but we're also trying not to spend very much money right now. So that was all, that was fun. And again, we took Jack out. We've got the Juvie stroller that I talked about before that he was in the whole time. Lucy rode on it a little bit on the back, but mostly hung out either like on her papa's shoulders or my shoulders, that kind of thing. But for both outings, Jack did pretty well. He was a little bit more like awake and fidgety for both of them, but I think that's just because he's not used to being outside the house. Oh, I also want to mention, when I recorded last week's episode, I believe it was on Monday, he had just gotten back from his shots and he had fallen asleep. And he seemed to be doing fine at that point. I think I recorded and then I ran out to get groceries. And by the time I came back, he was like screaming his tiny head off. And he wound up having like, not a bad reaction, but I mean, when they put vaccines in you, it's part of the whatever they're vaccinating you against. And so your body kicks in to kind of fight it and do its thing. And so he had kind of like a little freak out moment. I know a lot of people think that's a strike against vaccines, but that's just how they work. You're introducing the virus to your body so it can fight it and know how to fight it, just in smaller doses than normal. So I don't know much science about it and all that, but we are pro-vaccine. But what we do and what we did with Lucy as well is that we space them out as much as possible so that if something does go wrong, like way wrong, then we can go back to the pediatrician and be like, okay, something's happening. It's either this or this. You know, I think three is the max that we would do that we did for Lucy. And that's how many he got. But yeah, he did fine. After that, he was still, the next day, he was still a little wobbly, but he got better. And he was getting on a pretty good sleep schedule. And then up until like last night, he was doing fine. And then M thinks he might be going through another growth spurt because he was like eating on and off constantly, which I feel bad for her. But on the plus side, she's taking a nap right now, and so is everybody else in the house, and I am recording. As I mentioned, Lucy has been waking up very early. Today was 6, yesterday was 6:30, and actually yesterday was 6 too, but I got her to get in bed with us for a little bit and lay down so I wouldn't have to get up so early. Even today when I got up with her, she watched some TV and I just laid down on the couch and kind of dozed off for about an hour and then got back up and got to work and it was all fine. Speaking of work, I have mentioned a few times here and there how I'm trying to kind of reframe how I think about work and all that kind of stuff. And I got to say, it's actually going pretty well. And that's considering I had a couple like bigger things kind of pop up that I had to take care of. Basically, one of them I got, again, I talked about this a little while ago, but needed to get it in by a certain point, and I didn't have all the information, and we were getting kind of down to the wire. Basically, the thing was supposed to run in within 2 days of when I was ready, and I got more information, like, at the end about more things, and if I hadn't asked follow-up questions about it, it would have just seemed really silly. Like, I was not doing my job, and there were, like, major questions that hadn't been answered, so luckily that stuff came through and I was able to turn it in. But the difference, I guess, between this time and that time was that I just kind of let it not bother me. I didn't let it bother me, I should say, because there's only so much I can handle and I'm going to do my best to make sure that what I turn in is the best it can be, but I don't have to stress out about it in the meantime. If I don't have all the information, then I get the information and I do my best and then I do the best story I can, but I can't do it without having all the information. That makes sense. So basically, I'm just kind of trying to take it easy on myself. But I also set a few systems in place that really helped me out. In the mornings, I would kind of spend a bunch of time going through my RSS feeds If you don't know what that is, you can basically use a system. Google Reader used to exist. That's the first one I ever used. And then there's one now called Feedly, which is Feedly.com. Basically, what you do is you go to Feedly and you put in all the different websites that you like to read from. And so it brings all that information into one website, so you could just go and look at your Feedly account and look through all your stories. So, and then you can also organize it by type. So I've got one that's just for my spinoff stuff, and that's all movie related news. So that's my Variety, my Hollywood Reporter, all that kind of stuff goes into there. And then I have another one that's like music. So if there's a couple blogs and Tumblrs I follow, those all go in there, and comic book artists and all that kind of stuff. So it could be great because it's basically one-stop shopping, but at other times it can be like one-stop shopping at, you know, like a Sam's Club. There's just so much stuff there that you want to look at, but really you just need to get one or two things. So what I've started doing is, instead of going through the entire thing and then doing spinoff last, I might look at a couple that just take a second, and then I go right to spinoff. And instead of going through every single thing in spinoff that I need, I will find six potential stories and then stop there. Now, there's another writer who also does the same thing. I think he pitches at night and I pitch in the morning. So sometimes he has some stuff that will be on my list too, but I don't know about it. And that's fine. I mean, that's why I go for six instead of three, because I write three stories every day. And then other times my editor will just be like, oh, here's these things, do these, you know, right away. And for a little while, I was feeling like I was wasting my time because I was spending all this time doing this stuff. But really, I was spending all this time going through my entire RSS feeds instead of just doing the things that I needed to do for work. And this has actually helped me out a lot, because it gets me working on those posts sooner and done sooner. And then I can go back and look at all the kind of other stuff that I don't need for work later on. And that has actually, you know, that I read a post, and I wish I could remember where it was, but it was like things that highly effective people do or whatever. And one of them was focusing on one thing at a time. And then also one of the byproducts of that is that once you focus on something and finish it, that makes you more efficient, because then you can move on to your next thing. And kind of in relation to all that, I made just like a really basic checklist on a piece, like a notepad document on my computer that I've been using to really good effect. And it seems a little silly when I kind of look at it and read it to other people. But, you know, it starts with waking up, and presumably when I'm waking up on the, once Emily goes back to work, it'll be with Jack or Lucy. I don't really know. By that I mean I just don't know who I'm going to be waking up with in the morning. Jack might actually get a feeding in with Em and then go back to sleep, and then Lucy will be the one that wakes up. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But I made a list, and so at the beginning of the list is like diapers, because I assume Jack will need his diaper changed in the morning. And then it is food for Lucy, and most possibly a bottle for him. That all kind of changed, and I've been trying to take my vitamins more regularly. It makes the most sense to do that right then. You know, I don't have every little thing down, but some of the little things that I tend to forget, like the vitamins I tend to forget, brushing teeth I was not very good at, so I have on my list brush teeth, but that means for both me and Lucy, and then Jack eventually when he is of that age. And then it's, you know, find six potential spinoff stories, write spinoff, then go through emails. Another thing I read on that story, which I wish I could remember again, was like try to avoid responding to emails right away, because it was part of that once you get going on something, then you're more efficient. So emails can be real tricky. Now for me, emails might actually make me be able to do my work in the morning, but for the most part, and this is kind of a benefit of doing this regular thing in the morning every day, is that it can put me on the path to being more efficient throughout the day. And then like I said, I've got a thing on there for breakfast for me, because I have coffee first and then I eat later, brush teeth, do blog work, do work that I get paid for. You know, those will obviously switch depending on necessity, but it's been nice to have a better outlook. And even Em said that she thought that I was in a much better mood last week. I mean, I still have times where I get really frustrated, but even for me, it doesn't feel as intense as it used to. And part of that might actually be because I mentioned the coffee thing in the morning. That's what I usually have first when I wake up. Last week I made something with chicken and the cutting board was sitting in the sink to be cleaned. And that evening we were sitting, or not that evening, you know, a little bit later, we were sitting before the dishes got done. And all of a sudden I hear a crash from the kitchen and I go in and the cat had knocked over my coffee press, which is about a 3-cupper, if not more. And that's what I had every morning. I would wake up, I would get the water going, I would make that, and I would consume it. But with that broken, I switched over to the 1-cupper, which I actually had just replaced because the previous one that I had of that broke. So I've got 1 cup that I've been using for a week now, and I think that might have something to do with it too. I mean, I'm not a coffee or caffeine fiend. But I do notice that sometimes if I don't have any, I'll get a headache. Like if I don't have any all day, sometimes I get a headache. Sometimes nothing happens. Like sometimes on the weekends, I just kind of want to skip it. Or if it's real hot, I won't have anything. But I do like having the cup in the morning, kind of gets me going. And even if it isn't the caffeine boost that I need, it's kind of that signifier of like, okay, here's the day. Let's do this. And I have read that too much coffee can actually be bad for you. 1 cup is, you know, 1 to 2 cups is good. It can actually help you focus. You can do a few other things. So I don't know. I've been feeling better lately, and part of that's probably eating better and watching my calories, which can be frustrating. But what I found is actually more frustrating is when I kind of go off book or have a cheat day or whatever on the weekends, and then I find myself having to get back down to the number that I was at previously. So like, I think the lowest I've gotten to so far was 181. And then we've had 3 parent visits over the weekend for the past 3 weeks. Em's parents were here on Father's Day. My parents were here the weekend before that. And then Em's parents visited the weekend before that. And it's nothing that they do or anything, but when we have company, I tend to cook a little bit more extravagantly than I normally would, and we go out to dinner and there's desserts around and snacks and things like that. It's not something I want to like not partake in, but I will say that on Monday when I weigh myself again, I'm like, ugh, I did all that work, I got it down, and now I've got to work half a week to get back down to where I was by the end of the previous week. So hopefully that won't be as much of a problem. And part of it's just kind of like letting loose and not caring for a day or two, which is nice. But I think I've got kind of a better handle on everything now. So yeah, it's just kind of like a lot of different things going on where I am trying to keep myself more organized, more healthy, and just on track. And I think it's working, that because even some things that have been bothering me, Lucy had been going like 2 weeks without any accidents, potty-wise, and then this week there were like 3 or 4. And it was just really frustrating because it's not that she doesn't know how to do it. I know that she knows how to do it because for a week, if not more, she was just running to the bathroom, turning the light on, going, and then telling us, and then that was it. It was fine. And I mentioned like 3 or 4 episodes back at this point that potty training was a lot more complicated than I thought it was going to be. Not because of what you have to do, but because of the way they react. And for about a week, it's been like her saying, I have to go, no, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes, I do. Like, and like doing this back and forth thing and making like a really big show out of the whole deal. And my wife thinks it might be kind of like an attention thing. So we're trying to relax on that. But it is a bit frustrating that, you know, it seemed like we'd come so far and then there's all these steps backwards. But, you know, I'm the type of person who gets really used to a new thing very quickly, and then that becomes the norm, and I should not be getting used to potty training a potty trained toddler so quickly, I think is just the thing here. It's sure she's having some power struggles and trying to assert whatever control she has, which I guess is all part of the game, but it is frustrating. And then sleep has been kind of off and on. I'd actually had pretty good luck for a while there of just going in and her falling asleep. I'm trying really hard not to go in too early, but I also kind of watch her. If she has a late nap and then she says she wants to go to bed at 8, I usually wait a little while because, you know, I think she's lying just so she can start reading books, which I don't like because I don't want to have to sit in there. And that actually happened last night. She was real tired throughout the evening, even though she had kind of a later nap. But then she woke up and was kind of like, little groggy the whole evening, and we right after she woke up, we went and got books from the library, and I picked up some things myself that I'm actually pretty excited about. And then we came back, and the whole time it's really hot here lately. I don't know if you can hear my air conditioning or the fan, but it's the last few days have been really hot, so I think she was kind of lackadaisical in the car, and I made sure that she kept drinking water. I didn't want her to get overheated because she runs hot anyway. And, you know, just the whole evening, dinner was real relaxed, all this kind of stuff. So she didn't really seem super awake. So when she said at 8 o'clock she wanted to do books in bed, I was like, well, okay, even though she'd gotten up at like 4 from her nap. And it did not work. I read her the books, and she just, like, stayed awake and did scenes from various movies using her Barbies and her Toy Story characters that are all in her bed. And I actually dozed off, and I woke up, and it was 9 o'clock, and we'd been in there for an hour. And I was mad. I came out, and then Em went in there. I mean, I would ultimately like, not ultimately, I would very soon, and I feel like it's the next step, like for Lucy to just go to sleep in her room by herself. I mean, the nightlight in there is pretty bright. And if she's just kind of like kibitzing with her toys, then I don't know why she needs me there, especially when she doesn't know this, but I'm dozing off right next to her. So I don't know, that was frustrating. But even then, when I came out and I was frustrated, I wasn't nearly as frustrated. Like, it didn't feel as intense as it did before. And I wish I could explain what I'm doing better, because I think it could be helpful, but I don't know. I mean, I think all the other things that I'm doing to try and like reframe how I think about my work and how I'm handling that and my nutrition and all that kind of stuff definitely help. And then so when things get frustrating, they're not nearly quite as frustrating. I mentioned getting some books from the library myself. I can't remember if I've talked about this on a previous episode or not, but in the past 2 months or so, I've discovered that our library, the one we go to regularly, is in Cornwall, New York. But it's actually part of this huge system in Orange County and possibly other counties where we are. And that means that you can request a book, or they call it putting it on hold, by going on the website, putting in your information, and whatever library it's actually at will send it to your closest library, or whatever library you want it to come to. And then you just go pick them up. And I've probably gotten like 40 books, and I've probably read about 20 of them. Half of them I'm either just too ambitious with, like there's no way I can read a comic strip collection that's, you know, got 400 strips in it or whatever, or just I wind up not liking it. I mean, that's just how it works. But they have a ton of different trades, and, you know, I've been a fan of comic books for, gosh, since 1992, so 22 years at this point. And even having been a fan that long, and even having worked at Wizard, which had its own very impressive comic book library, there's still a lot of stuff that I haven't read that I'm curious about, especially kind of old school, like Golden Age, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s comics and comic strips that were really revolutionary at the time and were very influential. You know, you just can't. It's hard to get a handle on all that stuff because, for one thing, those collections can be very expensive. And another, it's just, you know, when I was 15 or 16 buying comics, I wasn't as excited about, what's the one I have over there? Walton Skezik's comic strips as I was whatever Green Lantern or Superman book was coming out that month. So it's cool to have access to this stuff, and it's nice because it just gives us like another reason to go to the library. Sometimes I get a little bit lazy and don't want to get up and do stuff, but if I know that for one thing Lucy will have a good time and she'll get new books and some new movies, and I will grab something that I will enjoy, then it actually makes it a lot more fun. So, you know, that's something to look into. I don't know how common that kind of system is countywide for libraries or whatever. I think it is fairly common. I mean, I remember our college library being part of a system back at Ohio Wesleyan where the same thing would happen, but it could be different where you are. This has been really fun, and they have a surprisingly good selection. Of course, the one thing that you might run into, and that I've have or will probably soon, is like if they depend on donations for a lot of these things and don't actually buy them on a regular basis, then you might run into it where they've got like volume 1, 2, and 4, and then you've got to hunt down 3 somewhere else. So that can be a little bit tricky. You're kind of at their whims and at the whims of, you know, stock. But it's been pretty great so far. And one of the things I've actually used it for is going through different comic books that I want to show Lucy when she starts being interested in the medium. And I've read some really interesting ones. I won't get into too much details because I do have kind of an idea about something I want to do with them. But there's a book from the mid-2000s called Leave It to Chance, which is about a young girl. It's kind of like Nancy Drew, but set in a world with magic. And she has a pet dragon. That book's really awesome. That's by James Robinson and Paul Smith. And then there's a book that is a lot more recent that I hadn't known about before. It's called Zeta the Space Girl by Ben Hatke. That one's a graphic novel from First Second, and that book is awesome. I really, really enjoyed that one. And I'm just kind of trying a lot of different things. In the past few years, I have not shied away from, but become far less interested in superhero comics from Marvel and DC. And it partially has to do with what they're doing. DC redid everything back in 2011 and started a new universe. And for me, that was kind of the perfect stopping point. Like, okay, I don't have to care anymore. The DC universe that I know and love went from like 1992 to 2011, and maybe not even that far, depending on which book we're talking about. But that's a perfect stopping point. Now, there have been books and series in that new 52 that I've really enjoyed. I think Scott Snyder's take on Batman is fantastic. I read a little bit of the Green Lantern and Wonder Woman, and I like those. And Grant Morrison did some Action Comics stuff that I want to finally catch up on. So there is stuff that I think is interesting, and I do know people that work there, and I know they work really hard to make the comics they make. But, and this goes for Marvel books too, I do think you get to a point where you've read all you can handle of a certain hero, unless something really, really interesting is being done. And that doesn't happen a ton. And sure, I mean, well, I'd say on average. I mean, there's so many comics being published by those two companies, many of which focus on the same character. And in my experience, it's really difficult for two Batman books to both be stellar at the same time. Usually one's stellar and one is there to tell kind of middle-of-the-road Batman stories. I'm not attacking any actual Batman book that's being put out right now because I haven't read any of the other ones. But that's just kind of the general way that that works. When multiple titles start getting put out, it's not usually because there's seven guys that have really good, say, Spider-Man or X-Men stories to tell. It's because those books sell, and they're going to put out more of them because they will sell, and they tend to sell, so it works. That's a whole problem with the industry, but we don't need to get into that right now. But, you know, there's a cap, and for some certain heroes that I have a long-time love for, there's a much bigger number of stories that I will read. You know, I'll still check out good Superman and Batman stories, but I'll tell you what, nothing breaks my heart more than a bad Superman story. There were a few that I've read in the past couple years that just were just terrible. Just not just bad Superman comics, but bad comics, bad stories, bad art. And that is frustrating, especially when it's like the number one superhero of all time. When I started kind of moving away from that, I got more into like the Image comics and the creator-owned stuff, mainly because I was writing about them for CBR, and I really like a lot of that stuff. I think just letting creators kind of run free and do their own stories winds up with much better comics. Now, whether they're to your taste or not completely is completely, on a case-by-case basis. The one thing that I did notice after reading several years worth of those independent creator-owned comics is that a lot of them are pretty dark. And if all you're ever reading is really dark comics, it can get kind of, it can grind on you a little bit. But that's been one of the nice things about kind of going towards these more all ages and kids comics is that they're just more fun. I mean, there's still adventure and drama and action and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's not super violence or profanity or anything like that. And not that I'm offended by those things, but I remember one night I was going through a ton of stuff, and it was just like, oh my gosh, I just saw like 30,000 people get murdered in those that stack of 12 comics I read. So maybe something a little lighter is in line. But the other thing that these books remind me of, and kind of tie it back into what I talked about in the beginning of this, is it's got kind of that Goonies flavor. You know, it's kids dealing with crazy situations, and the 80s was such an awesome time for movies like that. You know, Goonies, I'm going to blank out now, but there's a lot of, like, weirder... Oh, there was one that I just watched recently called Cloak and Dagger that I hadn't heard of. There's E.T. There's more horror-based ones like The Gate and House 2 and Troll 2. And those aren't all good movies, but that kind of spirit of, like, children... like preteens or tweens or whatever you want to call them, dealing with heavy stuff. I mean, think of what Elliot goes through in E.T. He meets an alien from outer space who winds up getting taken away from him, and then he's got to, like, make a plan with his friends to get that alien. There's just so much going on in that movie. And if you think a Henry Thomas character goes through a lot in E.T., then you've got to check out this movie, Cloak and Dagger. It's on Netflix. It's about a kid who, like, goes into his own little world and plays spy, but he actually imagines the spy, I forget the character's name, but it's played by Dabney Coleman, and that's because Dabney Coleman also plays his dad in the movie. His mom died of cancer, I believe. And so he's dealing with a lot of stuff already, and then he winds up getting a video game cartridge that winds up having government secrets on it, and so he's on the run, and, like, adults are trying to kill him to get it back, and it's just pretty intense. But they don't really make movies like that anymore, but I have noticed that they make comic books like that. Now, that's a little too intense, I think. Like, I wouldn't want to show my daughter that movie now, maybe when she's a little bit older. But something like Zeta the Space Girl is just a perfect book to read with your kids because, you know, it's a little girl in a crazy situation. And this goes back to a TED Talk I referenced a while back, but she's not necessarily punching her way through everything. She's going on a journey and making friends and creating relationships, and that's what gets her through. And she's just smart and clever and a great role model for boys and girls, because I do think it's important that we expose the boys to the strong female characters in addition to the girls. Girl power is great, but girl power also needs to be something that boys believe in, too. Otherwise, you're still building the unbalanced society that we kind of live in right now. So anyway, I've gone on a lot of tangents this episode, but it's been a lot of fun reading these all-ages comics. I recommend that if you haven't read any all-ages comics, give them a look. And if you haven't read any comics, also give them a look. Zeta the Space Girl is great. Leave It to Chance is a lot harder to find. But the one that my daughter has really, really latched onto is a book called Tiny Titans. This came out like late 2000s and went for a while. And it's just DC characters who are in the Teen Titans who are all going to like a preschool and they hang out in a treehouse. She loves the drawings because there's these awesome, cute little guys, and she's learning all the characters and keeping track, and it's just really cool. And now she actually asked me to read her that for bed as part of one of her books in bed ensemble. And so she'll be like, "Daddy, would you read me a comic book?" And it's just the cutest dang thing. I mean, anybody who's read comic books for a long time that has like a healthy relationship with them, which is not everyone, I think kind of hopes that their kid shows an interest in the things that they like. Now, I've got plenty of comics that I will not show her until she's much older, but the fact that she's even vaguely interested is a lot of fun, and it makes me smile every time she says the word comic book or the words comic book. But I think that's going to wrap it up for me this week. I've gone a bit longer than I expected, but that's all right. Kind of had a lot to talk about. As part of my kind of getting everything together, I have been trying to post more regularly on all my blogs, and I've been doing a pretty good job of it. If you do go to poppapa.com, that's poppapa.com, that's where I host this podcast. You can go there and check out the show notes for this episode if there's anything. I'll probably post a few of the reviews of the movies that I mentioned, Goonies, Cloak and Dagger, and a few other things. Plus, I have started to be on a good schedule for photo diaries. If you were paying attention last week, you saw that several were being posted a day. What I'm trying to do is get everything off the cameras on Sunday. And the schedule I'm basically trying to do is posting one week after. So on Monday, the previous Monday's will go up, and Tuesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Wednesday, and on and on. And I got that actually worked out for this whole week, so hopefully that'll work. I've got my fingers crossed. I mean, obviously, sometimes things are going to come up, and it's not going to help or work out. But again, having a system is very important, I've found. I've also been posting on Monkeying Around the Kitchen for the first time in a long time. Actually, recording this last week kind of inspired me to get back on the horse. I posted about our Disney trip food, which was back in February, so I'm still catching up. I've found that there's just a ton of stuff that I've taken photos of that I just do not remember, and I can't even do like forgotten food posts because it's been so long. So what I'm going to try and do is, if it's appropriate for the weather, it's going to be like 88 3 days this week, so who knows. But if it's appropriate for the weather, I might circle back around to a lot of the recipes that I've tried. I can just use the photos I've already taken, and then I'll have a more fresh idea of what that food is. Plus, I am still cooking every day, so there is plenty to choose from my posts. And I am trying to do that on a more regular basis. Just today I posted about cauliflower mac and cheese that I made that was amazing. And I highly recommend, especially if you want to de-skinny it a little bit by cooking up some pancetta and then cooking your breadcrumbs in that fat, because that is money. And I am also posting pretty regularly on United Monkey. That's MONKEE.com. I've got some toy stuff and some movie stuff and some comic book stuff up on there. I posted about Johnny Mnemonic and The Matrix, two Keanu Reeves computer-y movies from the 90s, and it was really fun taking a walk down Matrix memory lane because that movie was so huge and so a part of my kind of growing up as a movie fan time, because I saw the first one in high school in 99. And then I don't really remember when the next two came out specifically, but I would have seen them either with my friends from high school when I was home from college or in college, which I think is how I saw the second or third one, even in IMAX, which was pretty rad. So that was a fun kind of post to write. And of course, I am always on Twitter, at Papadeetch. That's P-O-P-P-A-D-I-E-T-S-C-H. All right, gang. Have a good one.